Our speakers will share for 15 minutes each. Then we will open the floor for 3-minute shares. Please follow these timing guidelines to allow more attendees to participate in the workshop. Give your first name, where you live, how long you've been in OA, and length of abstinence and/or maintenance. Our first speaker today is actually one of our first readers today. I'm very excited to hear your story. I've been seeing you around the convention, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say. So without further ado, here is Ms. Jacqueline.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Jacqueline. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm in recovery today by the grace of God and the help of the fellowship. I live in Orlando, Florida. I've been in program 36 years, and I've been abstinent for 32 years. I have always been a very food-oriented, food-focused, food-loving person. I got into food very early in life. There was a lot of confrontation and conflict and contention in my household. So I very early retreated into books and TV and most of all, food. My father left the household when I was around 3 years old, and I did not see much of him after that. And my mother had to work, so I didn't see much of her. My brothers were older. One was 13 years older, and one was 9 years older. So I didn't see much of them. So I had my food, I had my TV, I had my books, and I was set, I thought. In school, I was one of the biggest, or the biggest. In high school, same thing. But I started going to the paying ways. And I would take off a lot of weight and promptly put it back on. And I went to doctors, and they gave me pills, amphetamines, speed. And I promptly took off the weight, and I just as promptly put it back on. I tried diets in magazines and books and self-help and took off the weight and put it back on. And I'm told that yo-yo dieting is harder on the body than staying at one weight, even if it's overweight. I didn't know that then, but I'm having the consequences of all that weight that was on my body, 100 pounds or more. So today I'm having the consequences of joint pains and fallen arches and you know the deal, you know the routine. But thank goodness I learned about Overeaters Anonymous. Now this 36 years I told you about was not my first experience with OA. I first heard about OA when I was in my 20s and had 100 pounds to lose, of course. And I went to a few meetings and I got scared, because these people were telling me I'd have to give up the food. I wanted to be thin, but I did not want to give up the food. So I left. Then I came back in the early 1980s, and I stayed a little longer. I stayed long enough for somebody to give me this beautiful big book. And I got to be less scared. and want more of the love and the friendship and the support that I saw in the rooms. But again, they were telling me that the food had to go. So instead of the food going, I went. Then in June of 1985, I came back again. So I'm a slow learner. And if anybody out there has had multiple tries at this program, keep coming back. Either you will get the program or the program will get you. So I came back in June of 1985 and got a wonderful sponsor and took off 105 pounds in 9 months. But I did not pay any attention to the emotional and spiritual aspects of the program. So I went into incomprehensible, demoralizing relapse, which was the best thing that could ever happen to me, because I learned that food is not my friend. I learned that I can't diet, because a diet has a beginning and an end. And at the end of the diet is the food. I learned that I can't do it by myself, that I do need help. So while staying in the rooms, I never left the room since June of 1985. I put back on the 100 pounds and was miserable. Once you've had a taste of the program, your eating can never be the same. My first abstinence was a gift, but I had to work years to get it back, to get a real abstinence. So on August the 4th, 1989, I was blessed by my higher power, whom I choose to call God, with a real abstinence. I heard a voice. I don't know where the voice came from, but I heard it. And the voice said, "It's time." Now, I didn't know what the voice meant or what "it's time" meant, but I took it to mean, "All right, Jacqueline, surrender. Work this program as it is laid out in the literature. Work this program as it is a fellowship of people who support each other because they don't want to eat compulsively anymore." So at that time, I took 3 years to take off the 100 pounds again. I did not take off the 100 pounds until 1992. I went very slowly, very carefully, went through the steps in depth. And since 1992, I've been in this body. What happened is I had to stop thinking I knew what was best for me. I had to depend on the God of my understanding and trust Him to take care of me. I had to grow up emotionally. I had to forgive my parents for being human. What a concept. I had to forgive myself because I was reacting to them rather than acting. I spent a long time in the forgiveness process, but that was very good for me. It was time well spent. Well, in 1992, I reached 100 pounds off, and I continued going to several meetings a week until the pandemic hit. And if there's any silver lining to the pandemic, it's the availability of Zoom meetings. I went to an Arizona meeting yesterday by Zoom. It's such a beautiful experience. So what do I do today to remain in abstinence? I do what I did when I first surrendered. I wake up each morning and get on my knees and ask God for help. I recite the first three steps. I read literature. I talk to sponsees. I talk to my sponsor. I have sponsees throughout the day, morning, noon, and night. And they keep me hopping because I can't be telling somebody what to do if I'm not doing it myself. I have to be not seen. And I'm very proud to tell you that Anne is one of my sponsees. I'm not breaking her anonymity because she said I could. And boy, sometimes I look at her and I say, "Woo!" But I too give a lot of service. I was involved in the World Service Convention, which was supposed to be in Orlando, which didn't happen because of COVID. And it's not going to happen again until 2025. That's a long time from now. I'm 75. I hope I'm able to give service at that point. And we're having a Zoom meeting this year for our Florida State Retreat. But next year, we hope to have it in person. So I'm heading that up. So say a prayer for us, because we had no idea that 2021 would be like this. So we're just praying that 2022 won't be like this. So my friends, I think that's the most that I have to share. And I'm very honored to be here and to share with you. Love you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Oh, that was just wonderful. Thank you so, so much for your story. Oh my goodness. All right. Our next speaker is Neil M. Neil, I'm so excited to hear your story. And I'm going to pass the screen over to you. You're muted, by the way. Oh, there you go.
Okay, I'm Neil Burke, recovering compulsive eater.
Hi, Neil.
Raleigh, North Carolina. Let me first of all qualify. I came into OA in 1989. And I am currently sustaining 145-pound plus weight release. I call it weight loss. I don't call it weight loss because I didn't lose it. I know exactly where it is, and I know exactly where to go get it if I want it again. And today, one day at a time, I choose abstinence because my story is also a lot about relapse. I relapsed three major relapses in the program because I started doing it my way again instead of the way that I heard that worked. But I learned something every time. I learned that if I don't do the deal every day, then I get what I get. And my best thinking got me back and got me into these rooms. So one day at a time. And, you know, compulsive eating did a lot for me for a long time, but it also took a lot from me. I'm a musician. I've been one for a long time. And for a year, you know, for a period of time when I was at my top weight, my guitar went in the closet and didn't come out for 8 years. because I was depressed and I was disaffected and just kind of removed from everything. But it came out. And I write recovery songs. And I'm going to share one with you today. I wrote the words in 15 minutes. I believe it was a God-given song. Because lyrics don't usually come to me that quick, but they all came in 15 minutes. The tune had been in my head since I was a child. It's from The Wizard of Oz. It's "If I Only Had a Brain." I called my song "Before I Found OA." And I'll try to sing it slowly. Well, my waistline I'm ignoring, and while my weight is soaring, I didn't have a clue. Well, my head I was scratching with the sick thoughts I was hatching before I found a way. So I found an OA meeting, and with some hope of fleeting, I tried to make a start. But I found myself a snoring, cause the stuff was really boring. Oh, I don't need this OA. Oh, why did I cry and live each day depressed and forlorn, and often curse the day that I was born? Well, did I know? Oh, no. With an air-expanding middle, while with my food I'd fiddle, I'm living in the dark. I would skip all the meetings and all the hugs and greetings. Oh, I don't need this OA. Then a bottom came to hurt me. My cellphone did desert me. I had a change of heart. I came back very humble, and with the steps I fumbled, oh, I'm working this OA. No more did I snore, or argue, fight, debate, or complain. I found a power greater than my pain, and I was home, no more alone. So come and share our glory, our faith and hope and stories, where living is an art. Use the steps to stop your eating, get a sponsor, try a meeting. There is nothing like OA. Use the steps to stop your eating, get a sponsor, try a meeting. There is nothing like OA. So, you know, this program has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. I think I was born a compulsive overeater. I gained and lost weight all my life and just thought that's what it was all about. I mean, I just to come home from school totally overstimulated and bullied, and I would stuff food in my mouth out of the refrigerator. And just, you know, go, a lot of my life was about food and fantasy. I would go grab my food and go to the TV set or lock myself in my room with a comic book or a science fiction novel and just live in a room and a world of my own. And, you know, one of the things I realized was that, you know, passage in the AA 12 and 12 that says that most alcoholics are childish, grandiose, and overly sensitive. And a friend of mine in AA says that really angers a lot of alcoholics when they read it for the first time. However, that really defined me. The first time I read it, I said, yep, that's exactly who I am. And, you know, it's one of those things like compulsive overeating. You know, I didn't ask to be born this way. But, you know, this is what my lot in life was. And, you know, it's kind of like, as I grew up, it's like, what am I going to do about it? And, you know, step one is two parts. I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. I didn't see huge weight gains in my life until I got married at 24. Before that, I would gain and lose about 25 to 30 pounds a year, depending on what time of year it was. If it was the winter, was inside and eating. If it was if it was during the spring and the summer, the early fall, I was working on my dad's farm or playing sports or out playing with my friends and burning it off. It wasn't until I got married and got a sit-down job that my weight ballooned up to 65 pounds in one year, up 65 pounds in one year. And I didn't know what had hit me. So that's when all the crazy diets started and the real overexercising. And I'm exercise bulimia is part of my story. You know, when I lost my first 100 pounds, I've done it three times. When I lost my first 100 pounds, I was a 275-pound person out power walking 2.5 hours a day. And you can imagine what that did to my ankles, my knees, my hips, and my back. But, you know, I was determined. And it's amazing, you know, it's amazing what we can do. You know, self-will avails us nothing eventually, but in the beginning, we can do a lot of damage with it. And, you know, that's what I did with my self-will. So anyway, I found OA because of marriage counseling. Big surprise there, huh? You know, my life is, you know, I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. And my life continued to get unmanageable until I finally walked into an OA room in 1989. And the warmth of the room drew me in. But it didn't get me abstinent because I was still trying to do it the Neil way. So it took me 9 years of coming in and going out and coming in and going out until I got to the willingness for my first abstinence. And my first abstinence lasted 10 years. And then and then I threw it away. Well, I'm sorry. My first abstinence lasted 1.5 years and I threw it away on Christmas Day, 1999. And my binge lasted for 4 days and it was like jumping into the black hole of Calcutta. And I got out, made a commitment, was willing again. And the next one lasted 10 years. And then I picked up the food again after an OA convention that I was rep at. And, you know, I picked up sugar for the first time in 9 years and it was, you know, went right back into it. You know, and it was one of those things, you know, I'm still powerless over food. Surprise. And my last relapse was one of the biggest gifts in my life because I came out of it willing to let go of white flour, and which was one of the biggest bugaboos I've been dragging around in my life forever. I wasn't willing, and my higher power had been telling me for years that it was not working for me. So today, my abstinence is no sugar, no white flour, no artificial sweetener, no alcohol, and I weigh and measure 95% of what goes in my mouth. As far as the program that I work, I use the tools to work the steps. And that was the willingness also came. The first trips that I took in 2015, after I picked up my last white chip, one day at a time, was I packed food everywhere I went. I packed all my meals. I planned all my meals. And that was a gift. That was a lot of surrender because The first three or four trips, I cursed every morsel that I had to weigh and measure and put in my cooler and my box. But I did it anyway because I knew, you know, I knew I was committing my food every day, and I knew what the penalty would be if I didn't do it. And eventually it became easier. And one of the things I've learned is some of my spiritual axioms are, it's not as hard as I think it is. The pain won't last as long as I think it does. And the gifts are far more magnificent than anything I could have come up with. I had made the best friends I have ever made in this program. Most solid relationships. When my back went out about 20 years ago when I was in program, people I barely knew came and stopped for groceries for me and cleaned my house and took me to doctor's appointments. You know, the strength I have gotten in this program, I was afraid to leave my house at certain times during my life, and I have traveled all over this world now because of this. Thank you. I am at a healthy body weight. My blood pressure one time was 210 over 105. And when I was told that, instead of going to the emergency room like they told me to, I went to a buffet and binged. I was pre-diabetic, and now my blood sugar is normal. I couldn't climb a flight of stairs without huffing and puffing at 40. And now I can walk 5 miles a day. It's just a gift for me, this program. My head is clear, and I am of service to other people instead of living in selfishness and fear. And, you know, and the gifts just keep coming one day at a time, as long as I keep coming back, using the tools and working the steps every day. I journal every day. I have a sponsor. I am a sponsor. I read 2 pieces of literature. I go to 3 to 4 meetings a day. It works if I work it, and I work it every day because I know what happens if I don't. I know what happens if I don't work it. And I also am beginning to be more and more aware of the abundance of my higher power as long as I keep coming back. Thank you.
Thank you so, so much, Neil. Your song was awesome. I loved that. Oh my gosh. We actually had a question if you would be willing to post your lyrics into the chat, if you're willing. That would be wonderful. Just something to think about. Oh, you're muted.
I don't mind sharing it person to person.
Okay.
But it's...
All right, that's fine. It was our interpreter, Julie, who asked. But that's...
That's why my phone number's in the... that's why my phone number is up.
Okay, that sounds great. Awesome. Thank you so much. All right, our last speaker... is from Seal Beach, California. And let me tell you how much she loves doing service because, y'all, it is 5:30 over there. And she is up and she's got her scarf on and she is rocking it. She is really something else. So I'm very excited to hear your story. And I give you Loni.
Wow. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. Thank you, Neil, for a darling song. And Jacqueline, I think you told my story. I can skip parts of it because you've covered it as only like 100 pounders can do. I am a compulsive overeater. And I'm going to start with it. First off, it's kind of difficult to try and wrap up a bunch of years into a small amount of time. So, you know, I'm going to kind of skip along the way. Oh, my God, I'm looking at myself. All right, enough of that. I was born 12 pounds, 8 ounces. I was as big as a 3-month-old. They knew I was coming. They could have bought me a tricycle and saved me a piece of cake. That's kind of how I hit the bricks running. And yet, I was not an obese child or didn't have any of that stuff in my childhood. but I'm not going to go into a whole bunch of what it was like, because in my 15 minutes, I kind of want to take it in a different way. I'm going to take you to January 1986, where I know that I have hit my bottom. Okay, January 1986 is not a good thing happening for Lonnie. I am morbidly obese. I am 340 pounds. I'm desperate. I'm without hope. Oh, and by the way, I'm a liar, a cheat, a sneak, and a thief. And I just now remembered that to try and talk a little bit slower, I'm naturally a faster talker. So I will try and slow it down with respect to the interpreters. At that point, I have fear. I am in so much fear, I can't believe it. I'm 43 years old. I am convinced I'm going to have a heart attack and somebody is going to gain authority over my children. And there was my motivation. I don't have a big dietary history. I dieted a little bit, but not a big dietary history. My solution to my fear was to hide in the dark, eat everything in sight, especially sugar. I am totally an addict, and I cannot stop. I'm 340 pounds. I cannot stop the sugar. I cannot eat enough to escape. Escape what, you might ask? Everything. Mainly, not only my young life, my family of origin life, but to escape the life I created for myself, which to all appearances was not a bad thing. So it's January 1986. A binge buddy reaches out to me and says she's gone to an Overeaters Anonymous meeting. And now in December was a holiday time, and I gave wonderful fat woman holiday. I gave fat holiday jolly old time at the best. And I'm terrified while all of this is happening. All the cooking, the baking, the eating, I'm terrified. So when she reached out, I said, uh-huh. And I went to my first OA meeting, and I am the largest person in the room. And I speak two languages fluently, English and profane. And I will say this morning that I will hang in with English. You are blessed that I'm not going to slip into profane. Actually, I mostly gave up so much of profane, I don't even think about it anymore. But that's where I was in 1986. And also, I was somebody that you never wanted to cross wits with unless you brought a wit, because I was very verbally gifted. That was my addictive superpower. And I don't do that anymore either. Funny, the things that we let go, we only think that a diet would fix us. But I go to my first meeting, and an interesting thing happened at that meeting. I heard you. I introduced myself like you did, and I said my name, and I said I was a compulsive overeater. And something kind of came over me. There's a name for what I do. You guys know what it is. Now, at that meeting, this was before literature, OA literature. Not only did we not have the 12 and 12, we didn't even have the 12. That had not been written. But we had AA's 12 and 12, and I went, aha, I do not need to spend any time with you people. I'm going to buy this book. I'm an excellent reader. I'm going to find the secret. You know it, and you put it in the book. I'm Audi. Thank you. And I did exactly that. I left that meeting that night. That week, I read that book because I read for the plot. By the way, don't read the 12 and 12 for the plot, any of them. Spoiler alert, there is no plot. So I read that 12 and 12 looking for that secret. Knew I needed to give up minimally 150 pounds, but I did not want to be among you. I wanted to hide in the dark, just like I said, eat my brains out, pretend. I'm a big movie file. You can tell the picture behind me. Anyway, I was done. But the following week, my friend called and said, are you coming to the meeting? Remember I said I was a liar? I was an excellent liar. I couldn't for the life of me come up with a lie good enough that I could sell to her to get out of that second meeting. There is a God. And I went to my meeting number two. Now I know what you look like. I know what the room looks like. I have the book. Something drove me that said there's a secret. And there was. And I've never left Overeaters Anonymous. I have been blessed to have stayed all that time. Today, I'm just as married to Overeaters Anonymous. At that meeting, I did not marry you, but I began to date you. Okay, so we were going to like have some time together in the room. And a couple of meetings later, this beautiful woman that I met at that meeting, she passed away now 4 years ago, but she became my first sponsor and later my very dearest friend for life. She said, you know, there's a meeting, there's other meetings. Seriously? Yes, and I think you should go to some. Really? You want me to give up more of my time? I'm giving you Tuesday night. Yes, and this is, I'll meet you, we'll have dinner, we'll go to the meeting. That was her superpower. She would just, like a dog, she would nip at your heels and just herd you, you know, and get you where you needed to be. And she did, and I did. And my first 100-pounder meeting in Los Angeles, huge meeting, dynamic meeting. Remember I said 1986, loud, rowdy, raucous. I'm horribly embarrassed. I've got the nerve to be embarrassed. I'm 340 pounds of nasty loveliness, and I'm embarrassed. And when I walked out of that meeting that night, I thought, they are just like me. They sound just like me. They act just like me. I've never left that meeting. It's my home meeting. I'm still there on Zoom every Thursday night and multitudinous other meetings also. But I'm married to the 100-pounder meeting. I can laugh at that, but it was a long time before I could laugh at that. And so I am introduced now to really working the steps, doing things. And I was really afraid of working the steps because, you know, somebody was going to take away my food. Seriously, Lonnie, I weigh 340 pounds. I'm now down about 125 to 130 holding. I've been down a little bit more. I'm 78 years old. I'm still, I'm still around, girl. You know what? I'm still a work in progress. Me and my higher power, we will work on that. I am the lower power. I am not the higher power. As the lower power, I do get to do some things. I'm in charge of arugula and my salad and the grocery store and what goes in the cart. My higher power takes care of everything. I laugh about this, but some, you know, that's my quirky sense of humor. So I am now in Overeaters Anonymous and I learn about things. I learn about things called service. Wait, you expect me to do that? Yes. And secretarying a meeting and bringing coffee and calling, you know, doing work. I didn't come here to work. I came here to hide in the back and let everybody else do the work. Somebody will sprinkle me with fairy dust. I will eat everything I want to eat and I'll be thin. What? Why is that not a good plan? I thought it was a great plan. It's not a great plan. Second spoiler alert, it doesn't work. And so I've dedicated the last 35 and a half years to Overeaters Anonymous. This is my life. You are my people. You are my life. And do I have any regrets over that? Absolutely not. Has real life happened? Yes, it has. Real life is not flat. Flatline is dead. I'm still very much alive. I have, thank you, Jacqueline, for joints and hips. And I have a hip right now that is not very happy with me. The doctor knows about it. Thank God for medical care. But there is a price that I get to pay. And you know what? I'll pay it. I get to age among you. At 78 years old, there's a little bit of wisdom that comes along, but the wisdom came along because I spent the last 35 and a half years reading our literature, going to meetings, conventions, birthday parties, and listening to you. One of my superpowers is I learned to listen. I learned that with you. And lastly, and I want to say this before I run out of time, because there's other things I can always sprinkle with. The solution is here. The solution is in Overeaters Anonymous. The solution is not at the 7-Eleven or the grocery store or wherever it was I like to take it. On a Sunday morning at this time in the morning, before I met you, I was at a open 24-hour grocery store shoplifting on my way to the laundromat. I don't do that, and I've made those amends. So I thought that was the solution, that I could eat, not pay the price. Nobody would see me. My family wouldn't figure out how I got that big. That is not. Overeaters Anonymous is the solution. And the other part of the story that I love to tell, I belong here. I don't come from a long list of necessarily feeling like I belong. When I married, I belonged in that family. I loved my married the family I married into, but I didn't belong. Overeaters Anonymous, I belong here. I am happy to be here to welcome newcomers, to welcome people coming back, to welcome someone that maybe I haven't seen in 8 years. One of the best compliments I've ever received in this program, a guy that I hadn't seen in literally 8 years, walked in the door and I saw him and I went, oh, I called him by name and he said, I knew when I came back here, you would be here. And I went, oh my God, it almost brought me to tears because I was there trudging the same road all the rest of the people were trudging in that meeting that night. Glad to be there, to listen, maybe to share, maybe to not, maybe to give service that night, maybe to not.
Warning.
Thank you. But I was there. And lastly, I want to say this. There is joy in being here. There is joy in what I do. My morning time, when I open my eyes, and it was very early this morning, I said, thank you. I accept and I receive the gift. Thank you for the gift. The gift is freedom from the bondage of compulsive overeating, freedom from sugar poison, and freedom from bad food behavior. That's my gift. Now, I've been given that gift by my higher power this morning. I accept and I receive that gift. I don't struggle for the rest of the day. My job for the rest of the day is to honor the gift. Don't trash the gift. Don't give it away lightly. And then plan my meals. Pretty much I know what they're going to be. And give my service, live my life. My calls start coming in after I do my readings. There's other things that I do in the morning. But I am thrilled every single morning to accept and receive that gift that could only come from the power greater than me. I am willpowerless over food thoughts. Been having food thoughts of late. They're only thoughts. I no longer connect food thoughts to food action. There's food thought. That's a thought. I can take care of that. I can call my sponsor, talk to other people, read, write. I can divert the addictive brain. Food action. I have my meals. Most of the content of the meals are measured. Some I don't measure arugula and I don't measure lettuce, but I mean, most of the content of the meals are measured. I can do that. And I get to live a life of a quieter brain. I've learned to meditate. I get to live a life of freedom, different from what I ever thought it was going to be. Thank you. I hear the timer just went off. So I'm going to say thank you so much for letting me share. And I so appreciate being here, even at this time of the morning. I do appreciate being here and with you. So thank you.
Oh my goodness gracious. That was just wonderful. Thank you so, so much to everyone here. Thank you so much, Loni, Jacqueline, and thank you, Neil. Jacqueline, I wanted to ask you real quick, is it okay if we ask questions? Okay. So we will now have open sharing and questions. If you would like to share, please use the raise your hand function by clicking the reactions button at the bottom of the screen and choosing raise hand. If you're on your phone, find it under More, then Reactions. If you can't figure out how to raise your hand, type your name in the chat and say you want to share, or say your name in between shares. Please recognize the timer when you hear it and quickly wrap up your share. The floor is now open, and I'm going to turn that over to our participant minder chat wrangler extraordinaire, Narvet.
Hey, good morning. We have lots in the queue this morning, and the first up is Roz. So Roz, please go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Roz. I'm from originally from the Boston, Mass area. I live now live in Fort Myers, Florida. Hello to everybody. Early morning. It's only 8:52 here, so this is good. I just want to say thank you for this topic. It never was a topic when I came into program in 1983. And I could take all three of the speakers and say, that was me. If I want to say, what does a compulsive overeater look like? There's all different faces, all different this, all different that. But I came in, and the very first night I heard, I'm going to skip over not feeling good about myself, being unwanted as a child. I went from chubby to morbidly obese to grossly, from grossly obese to morbidly obese. I heard the very first night, I have a disease of fear, doubt, and insecurity, which has manifested itself in the way of compulsive overeating. It is not a moral issue. It was always a moral issue. And I came in the middle of panic attacks I had had for 10 years. Somewhere along program, I'm in my abstinence, it went away. I lost 124 pounds. It took about two years because, as the previous speakers, the more you keep dieting, the slower it becomes. I started when I had to say I'm a compulsive overeater. I didn't recognize that I was a compulsive overeater. I never knew my life was unmanageable. But November 3rd of this year, I forget whether I'm counting 38 years or 39. All I know is when I started counting, it was 1,000-something days and I stopped counting. I'm like, today I'm abstinent. How do I get here? I have a sponsor a couple of times a week, a new sponsor after almost 20 years. I ask my higher power to help to remind me I am a compulsive overeater. Help me to put down the substances and quantities that are harmful for me today. Help me in my decision-making process today according to your will. And I get along with my day. One of the things that I was fortunate enough to find was we were cleaning out some literature in a meeting. And I found a little pamphlet, just a little foldover, If God Spoke to OA. And I put my ears up because I never had a good God. I have a higher power who's a wonderful, wonderful friend and higher than me. That's absolutely so. And it says that I am fortunate because I have been chosen. God has not chosen, this is God's words, not mine. I have not chosen the doctors, the lawyers, any of the smart people. I have chosen you because I recognize you will be a person who honors this program, takes the responsibility, and then you pass it on. And that's what I do. I keep passing on my program and just thrilled about what I've been doing in program for these 38, 39 years. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Roz. All right, next up is Alita. Good morning, Alita.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you all for sharing. I've heard my story several times, and I didn't have to tell it, but I came to OA first in 1975 and knew nothing. I knew of a fellowship, but I didn't know of a program. In 76, I came back 9 months later, and I found a program, but it was a four-step program, 1, 2, 3, 12. And I found a wonderful sponsor who went to the World Service Business Conference, and she came back and said, they said we have to do the fourth and fifth step. And if I have to do it, you have to do it. And that's how that went. And I had, I'm not sure, 5, 6 years of continuous abstinence. And then I moved in 1987. Poor me, I was disappointed. Nobody treated me the right way. And it always bothered me. I would go to conventions and say, you know, I'd hear about 100-pounder meetings. And it's like, I'll never be able to be a part of that. Well, in 1990, I came back and I weighed, the highest number I saw on the scale was 286 pounds. So there was definitely a 100-pound problem. And I heard somebody say it took me 9 months to lose it. It took me this. It took me 20 years to get to a go weight. And then after 5 years or 6 years, I guess, I had not a relapse, but a problem physically where I really cannot do a lot of movement and motion. And I didn't realize how much less I had to eat because of that. And I gained some weight. And for today, I'm about 9 pounds from my bottom, but I literally lost half of my body weight. And that is a miracle. And I'm so grateful for all of you who serve in OA and have put this together. And what the amazing thing is, this is literally the first Region 8 convention that I've been able to attend, because I've always been in the assembly. And I was asked to be in the assembly and I didn't see it. So I didn't see that little blurb in the thing, and so I missed it, but this is what was meant to be. Thank you all so much for all you've done.
Felita.
Thank you so much. All right, next we'll have Risa. Good morning, Risa.
Good morning. Hey, I'm Risa, recovering food addict, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you so much to the speakers for your stories. I so appreciate hearing what you have to say. And I have a question. It has to do with kind of where I am right now. So I'm 115 down, 55 to go. And, you know, that's a great place to be. I'm really grateful to be 115 down. That's pretty awesome. You know, and I feel really good about it. And then I tell people and they're like, wow, that's incredible. But I know I have farther to go. I know I'm still on my journey. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about that. Like, what is it like to have made great strides forward and still have farther to go? Do you consider that you're at your goal weight? Do you consider that you, what was maintenance like? I would just like to hear some about that, because, you know, I think that it's important to talk about the spiritual aspects of our program. And to me, this is part of those spiritual aspects, is kind of wrangling with those feelings of where am I and what is my identity? Who am I and how do I live now? Thank you very much.
Jacqueline, I'd like to speak to that. I used to be in this ugly duckling, beautiful swan cycle. And I got a lot of strokes when I was losing weight. But I didn't feel good about myself. So my word to anybody who's in the process, hold on to the love, hold on to the people in the program, hold on to your higher power. The weight will come off. And when it does, you will be guided about maintenance. Stay in today. Today is a losing day for you. When it's no longer a losing day, the same program that got you down to your goal weight is the same program that'll help you stay there. In the book, the big book, the last story is how to deal with sobriety. And it says, anybody can stop. The problem is staying stopped. And that's where continuing with the program comes in. Thank you.
Thank you, Risa. I'd also like to speak to that, and I'll try and do it quickly. One, I'm a simple girl. I do it literally for one day. I'm looking at my clock. It says Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I have all day Sunday. And I try to not jump into either math or too far in the future when it comes to this. Now, other things, of course, there's life, work, planning. But when it comes to this, I slow my roll down and I'll give a good Sunday. I've already started it well. Number two, if we take a very good look at the steps that we read right before we did this meeting, none of them talk about a diet or a food plan. They only mention the substance once, and that is to say that we are powerless over the substance. So it comes to two different things. The 12 steps takes us to growth and development in a healthy, spiritual, emotional way to bring us back to where we were, to bring us to where we are supposed to be. We can have any food plan. One, especially if you're new, guaranteed your food will change. It will happen. All right. Today, I'm a whole food, plant-based, vegan on steroid eater. And if you told me this a long time ago, I'd have run naked down the street with my hair on fire because that was not how I got here. So I'm going to suggest to not worry about the food. Do what you do. Measure whatever it is your plan. Mine is that it will end. The meal ends. Nothing else happens until the next meal time. But otherwise, you'll spend a lot of time concentrating in the wrong area. Take your concentration. The weight is wonderful, your loss is, and the rest will be taken care of. It will. It's just maybe not exactly as how you see it. I'm gonna even speculate and say the outcome will be even more beautiful than you already are. Thank you.
Yes, I'll share briefly. One of the things that helped me in my journey was I asked every prayer every morning for my higher power to show me the next right thing to do and to give me the courage and the willingness to do it. And that's it.
Wow. Thank you so much, Risa, for your question and for the speaker sharing their experience. Next up, we'll have Andrea from Miami-Dade. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, Narved. My little green dot, right? Hi, everybody. I'm Andrea, compulsive eater with bedhead. And know what? I don't care because it's not about me anymore. Or it's not only about me. I always find the 100-pound meeting to be the best meeting for me. Not only have I experienced losing 100 pounds back in my 20s, but I find the unique experiences of 100-pounders, they're unique, and I relate to them. And I mean, I think it's different. I think all eating disorders are legit, very legit. But the experience of someone like me is very meaningful. When I used to look at a chair in the doctor's office and think, well, that's a generous looking chair. And then my butt would not fit in it. That sort of situation, and there's so many, you know, there's so many like that. It's just different. It's just a different kind of thing. And to watch people, the three speakers, and to see the progression of the recovery, and to look in their faces and just see. I mean, you know, I've been looking at Jacqueline for a long time on the Florida State Conventions and seeing, and, you know, not everybody here is an extrovert, you know, by any means, but the quiet people are doing just as much service as anybody else that's a loudmouth, you know, I mean, just by being an example of recovery and the light in their eyes, you know, and the joy that they bring, lots of joy. I just really relate to, that's my point. I really relate to you guys. one of the speakers at an assembly or a convention a long time ago said something that I'll pass on, which is that when I focus on the weight, I lose the recovery. When I focus on the recovery, I lose the weight. And I came in at a time where the definition of abstinence was such that I felt that I did what I did and left the results to God. And it's hard for me to get over the early beginnings and that philosophy to say working towards a healthy body weight. I feel like I do what I do and I leave the results to God. And the journey is just wonderful. Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much, Andrea, for sharing. All right, next we have Chuck. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm Chuck. I'm a compulsive overeater from Georgia. And I'm proud to say this is the first 100-pounder meeting that I've attended, not because I need to lose more than 100 pounds, but because I've lost more than 100 pounds. The last convention was in Miami that I attended, and I remember thinking, gosh, I really wish that would happen to me. And some of my story, I think the most demoralizing thing that I dealt with as I used to travel a lot, if you're a 6'4" man and you're pushing 450 and you get on the airplane, you've got your bag in your hand and you got the whole plane looking at you and you get that look, that holy smokes, I hope he isn't sitting in my seat, sitting next to me, because not only am I taking up my seat, I'm taking up half of yours. And I try to be funny about it. And I try, you know, you do all those things that we do, but boy, was it a bad feeling. And there are more like that. And as I've been in program 5 years, and I remember the 100-pound meetings that I would attend or that I would see. And I thought, I wonder if this is going to happen to me. And my whole life, because I'm a compulsive overeater, it never did. Nothing like that ever happened. And then I had little miracles, like 9 months into program, I haven't eaten at a all-you-can-eat store. And I used to eat them I had 3 or 4, you know, kind of spread out so I could go to each one each day and they wouldn't know that I'm going to one every day. And I had those tricks. And here I am. I'm right where Risa is. I've lost 120 pounds. I have probably about 70 pounds to go. I lose about, in the last 2 years, I think it's about half a pound a week. I try to stay in the food. I try not to worry about anything. Don't get too far ahead in the future. Don't think too far in the past. Just do my thing. But I've been abstinent 5 years. Have I been perfect? No. Has my food plan changed? Absolutely it has. I remember my first sponsor, all I could do, and this isn't a joke, it was 3 meals a day, which was a miracle. And I was like, well, what if I want ice cream? I said, well, just as long as it's one of your meals, don't, you know. And now somebody, you know, I would haven't eaten ice cream in a long time. I hate this phone. I just wanted to claim my seat. Thanks for everybody being here, and thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much for sharing. We only have a few minutes left before we close. So Robin and Allison, if you could take about a minute and a half each, we can hear both of you share. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, everybody. Name's Robin, still a compulsive overeater. I'm new to the program. I've been in here now for almost a year and a half. I'm going on 2, somewhere around there. And I want to say thank you for everybody's sharing today and their journeys that they've taken. I've gotten some clarity, understanding. I think I feel I have more understanding of my sponsor's madness of hurting me to certain directions in the way my sponsor talks. Also realizing that it's not about perfection. It's about the persistence, about coming back, working the steps. If you fail, it's okay. Take one day at a time, take 1 second at a time. And so I just want to thank everybody for being here today. And thank you. I'll pass.
Robin, you can have my time if you want it.
You sure?
Yep.
Thank you. It is, for me, at work, I'm an alpha dog. At home, I'm an introvert. And when my sponsor suggested, hey, why don't you go to this convention thing? Nah, I don't need it. I'm new to the program. I don't know what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do. I went last night to a couple meetings, and then my sponsor was like, hey, you should really try to attend a meeting this morning. And I'm like, get up early on a Sunday morning? You got to be kidding me. I am so grateful for every one of you guys listening and being an inspiration, not about what you've done, but it's just about the journey that you have all shared and how much I've taken it to heart. And it does give me hope. It gives me more strength in my program and a clearer understanding. I'm just full of gratitude for each one of you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you so much for a great meeting. I would like to thank everyone for being of service. Thank you so much to Narvette for stepping up. I really appreciate that. Thank you to Chuck, our timer. Thank you to Julie and John, our excellent interpreters. And I would really like to say thank you so, so much to Jacqueline, Neil, and Loni. You have just really made a wonderful, wonderful meeting.